You have tuned in to a study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course, and we welcome you. We're moving on to chapter 14 today, having covered just a few of the passages in our previous session, and I want to read again from the opening of this chapter, and then we'll move on. Jesus is the speaker. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know the way you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him." We earlier discussed the first three verses of this chapter, pointing out that Jesus' first concern was for the troubled hearts of the apostles. At the Passover supper, they had been told by him that one of them would betray him. And he added this, "And yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Well, that certainly disturbed them. Their hearts were indeed troubled. Now in chapter 14, the subject broached by our Lord on that same night was his return to get them. His purpose appears to have been to give them hope, along with comfort, for their troubled hearts. We see this in verse 3, "I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." It's bad enough to lose someone, but when they say, "I will come again," that brings comfort. That takes the sting out of the loss of that dear friend or that loved one. The only event described in the Bible that is expressed what is said here in John 14 is the signless coming of Jesus Christ to gather his church in the air and then to escort them into heaven. The Thessalonian believers were given the details about this coming of Christ in chapter 4 of the first epistle, beginning with verse 16. It bears repeating. Paul wrote, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Notice the words, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven." This is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a descent here. To where? A descent to the air, not to the earth. That comes later. This statement here was written for both hope and comfort. We, of course, know that because of Paul's concluding statement, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So when there is a tragedy, when there is a loss, and when hope seems gone, we turn to this passage. A lost one who believes in Christ will live again. The dead will be raised. We will all go to be with the Lord. The grave is not the end of life for the believer. There is life after death. On a timeline, I think we can see when all this will happen. First, we have the crucifixion. And Jesus, in John chapter 14, is speaking on the night before he went to the cross. All that he said to the apostles on that evening is covered in chapters 13 through 16 of the Gospel of John. After his crucifixion, we have the resurrection. Then, the descent of the Spirit from heaven on Pentecost. That's recorded in Acts chapter 2. And the first event promised to believers following the descending of this Holy Spirit is the return of Jesus Christ from heaven. At that time, the dead will be raised. The living and the dead will then be snatched up together into the air in the clouds, and from that point, Jesus will escort believers into heaven. This is called by the Apostle Paul the blessed hope. Is it your blessed hope? Are you blessed when you think about it? That Christ is coming back to take us, whether we are dead or alive. He's going to get us, to gather us, to snatch us up off of this earth, and we'll meet him in the air and be escorted to our heavenly home. Now in John chapter 14, our Savior told the disciples that he would come back to get them. For the sake of accuracy, we need to distinguish between this coming of Christ to meet us in the air and another coming of Christ to the earth to rule. The Old Testaments all spoke about this. It's the time of his kingdom. You'll read more about that in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and in the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus frequently talked about this kingdom over which he would rule. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The wise men said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? They found Jesus as a little infant with his mother and brought gifts to him. That's the nativity story. They came believing that he was to be the king, and so the prophets declared that he would be. But Jesus has never ruled because his people rejected him. But God's prophets said he would rule, and rule on David's throne. Now the coming of Christ is one of two major topics emphasized in the first letter to the Thessalonians, and there are several Greek words used in this connection. The word used at the end of each of the five chapters of the first epistle to the Thessalonians is parousia. Its basic meaning is coming, and that's significant. If you want to read about what the apostles and early Christians believed about Jesus Christ coming, go to Thessalonians. Now, there are two other words used in the Bible in regard to the coming of Christ. One of them is apokalypsis. And you're familiar with that, perhaps, because the Greek name of the book of Revelation is the Apocalypse. You'll see that in some Bibles. It comes from the Greek word. And again, the idea of his appearing. And then we have the word epiphania, from which we get epiphany. What is epiphany? Well, that's the church festival commemorating the coming of the wise men at the birth of Jesus. Parousia, in addition to meaning coming, can mean presence. In Thessalonians, it refers to Christ coming for his saints. And the Greeks used this word in their literature in connection with the coming visit of an important person, such as the emperor. It was the word commonly used when speaking of a royal visit to a city. When that happened, they cleaned up the streets, made straight the way, smoothed it out for the coming of the king. So it's appropriate that this word be used in connection with the coming of the most important person in the believer's life. The Bible, in addition, tells of the Messiah's coming at this later time to rule. But that's another subject, and that's in the future. And we won't discuss that anymore, except to say that we call it the millennial reign of Christ. Now let's move on to John 14, verse 4 in the text. Jesus tells them, and you know the way where I am going. Did they know the way? Not according to Peter. In chapter 13 of this gospel, verse 36, he said, Lord, where are you going? He didn't know anything about the destiny of Jesus when he announced that he would be leaving them and that they could not come, and they didn't know what the destiny of Jesus was. And Thomas says the same thing here in verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you are going. Now this is rather surprising. After you've been reading through the Gospel of John covering 3 years of those men accompanying Jesus, and he spoke about the Father, spoke about heaven from where he had come and to which he would return, and they say they don't know where he was going. He also explained that the way back to the Father would be the cross. And they did not seem to know about that way either. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. It fits right into this. Did not Jesus tell them how he would go back to the Father? Yes, he did in John 3, 14 and 15. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Is that the way? Yes, being lifted up on a cross pole. That would be the death of Jesus, and it would be the first event leading to his way to heaven, back to the Father. But it would be the cross. That's the way. And they said they don't know the way. Then again in John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus said more about this. "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He." Notice, who is going to do the lifting up? And he's here speaking to the Jews. Lifted up on a pole is what he's talking about. It's a crucifixion scene. And once again, Jesus spoke of the cross in John chapter 12. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. And still, after that saying, the apostles are saying through their spokesman Thomas, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Well, they did have confusion. There is a problem. They didn't seem to want to believe what he had said earlier. And Thomas was not afraid to reveal his ignorance here. He said, "How can we know the way?" Well, in verse 6, Jesus gives them an answer. He tells them, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You need the word "the" in front of each one of those words, and in the Greek, we have a definite article there, so that translation is accurate. In other words, he is not a way to God, he is the way, and he's the only way. People will criticize Christians because of this. They'll accuse Christians of having a narrow religion for saying that Jesus is the only way to God. They get that from verse 6. Clearly, Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except by Him." From time to time, I am asked, what helped me most to develop into a Bible teacher? And I look back to 1945 when I began memorizing scripture verses from cards. And I'm grateful to the man who gave me those 4 cards and challenged me to start learning. Well, the Radio Bible Course can help you to get started. We have printed cards of the most essential passages that will help you to grow as a Christian. We call it the Bible Teaching Memory Program, and best of all, it's free. Write for a copy today. Ask for the Memory Program. Until next week, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.